It's Sunday morning, August 28th. Father, we'd ask that you would pour your Spirit out this day on our service, that you would reveal yourself and reveal truths in your word. Lord, we'd ask that you would allow us to see you and get in a deeper and closer relationship with you. Lord, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I got two scriptures I'd like to share.
Good.
It rarely happens. So I'd like to read 1 Peter 4:18. And if the righteous scarcely shall be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear?
That's a nice scripture to start with.
I'd like to read Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, I'm thinking that if I'm walking after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. And then I'm thinking that, but if those who are righteous are obviously those who are walking after the Spirit, they scarcely can get saved. So, I was just pinwheeling back and forth between these two scriptures going, that has got to be the yin and yang of what we need to know in order to have our walk. You know, but what that misses is God's grace and mercy. God's grace and mercy is ever present in all of this. As we've said, you know, none of us deserve salvation, but through God's grace and mercy, we can achieve it. But Susan and I were having a conversation this morning, and we were going, you know, we talk about this, even scarcely can the righteous be saved, you know, so where does that leave me? Because those of us trying to remain humble and seeking God and meditating on the Word day and night don't want to push our name right up to the front of the line going, I'm righteous, you betcha. Don't want to do that. Yet at the same time, if you're seeking after Him, don't be condemned. Don't be condemned. So, I often marvel at if you don't try and get every jot and tittle, the Word can work hard and you can get pushed down. And then if you just cherry pick the good things, you can convince yourself that things are pretty easy. And they're not easy. There's a requirement. Anyways, that's what I've been thinking on the last couple hours.
Well, that's the thought process that very, very, very few Christians consider. We have a lot of scriptures that say things like that. You know, few there be that find it. Many are called, but few are chosen. I mean, we have these scriptures. And yet we have some real sobering scriptures. And, you know, the thing is, we have to consider those too. We can't just ignore those. You know, man shall not live by bread alone. Or I'm realizing that we shall not live by food alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so if we have sobering scriptures, we need to take them into consideration. We need to let those scriptures work on us like like any of the rest of them. And I have. And, you know, the older I get, the less confident I am in my eternal life. I mean, I'm counting on it, and I'm watching. disappointed that I'm praying for it, but at the same time, work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
Until you turn 85?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. And then, it's a funny thing that, you were talking about Romans 8:1 and a few things there, But anyway, I was going to bring up a few verses ahead of Romans 8:1 this morning, and it's a question in my mind, because it's not that I have any understanding of it. I really don't. But Paul said, "The good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do." And my mind is, somebody tell me what these things are. What are we talking about? What was it that was bad that he did and he didn't want to do it? I mean, he already had been killing the Christians before he got saved. And I think I heard somebody, this is 50 years ago, where in the seventh chapter of Romans, where he says, the good, there's things in my members that are that work against me, and they made a statement and they said that could not possibly have been Paul's present condition. That had to be his past, and it's like, I don't think so. I think he's given us an insight so that we, it gives us more, it actually gives us more stability. You know what I mean? And so, anyone that is a Christian does not sin. Is that true? That's what that guy said.
Somebody said that.
But unfortunately, it's not. Sin is a problem that reaches everybody, and you'd like to say except you, but it's not. That's not the case. And we have to realize that. And what Romans 8:1. Is there's no condemnation now to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, there's a lot of people don't recognize what that's saying, because you can have weaknesses and still be walking after the Spirit. You can have difficulties and still be on the right track. And you can have difficulties and be on the wrong track.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have both sides. But I'm glad for these scriptures. And I'm glad that Paul says, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. And then he makes a strange statement. He says, "And if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me." And does that sound like double talk?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like. He says, and then the next verse, he says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I do. And so do you. We need to understand what it's saying here. But I see another law in my members. And I remember when we got into deliverance and we begin to understand a lot more about some of these statements that wars against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And we're now talking about demonic forces that have this law. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. You understand that? I wish I did. I kind of do. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, in the spirit, in their minds. But the flesh creeps up, unfortunately.
You know, when Paul speaks about I'm going to do good and I can, and I don't, and what I do, and the evil that I don't want to do, I do. But sometimes I think, that the evil that he does is not in ourselves when we do evil and we don't want to do it. It's nothing about big witchcraft, this big bad things. It is little things. You know, the little things, they're okay because they're little things. You know what? A little sin is as bad as a really bad sin, as a big sin. So, and that's the more dangerous. It's like a 22 gun. You know, it's a little gun. You know, so I told you, I'm going to kill someone with it. You know what I mean? So as much as a 30-06, you know, but you think, it's little, you know, it's a little sin, it's a little sin, so no big deal, but no, yes, big deal. Those are the things that we have to look at more than as much as the big sins too, but this little sins that makes us, you know, I got these little things, no big deal. Well, that little thing's going to send you to hell if you don't figure it out. You know what I mean? If I clear it out, I'm just saying, I'm asking for forgiveness. And because it seems to me that we are going to live sinning forever. I don't think that we can escape sinning. We are always going to sin. And the Bible says, you know, he who says that they don't sin is lying. So I'm always sinning. The difference is that I got Jesus and he forgives my sins. That was his purpose of coming. You know, but I need to know. These little things are bad, the big things are bad also. The little things are bad all too, you know. So, you know, Lord, help me out, help us out, help us all out.
Get a little testimony then. This week I was out walking my dog, or just walking, and I saw this guy in a golf cart driving around having problems, so I went over and talked to him. And I was sharing with him, we were just talking, and I'm asking him how he's doing, and he says, not as good as I'd like, you know, or whatever. And I said to him, you know, Pablo, you're not, you know, he said, manageable. He gave me some tolerable, manageable, and it didn't sit well with me in the spirit. So I kind of came back and said, you know, that is not what God wants for you. And so I remember a song that I like that says we're not supposed to merely survive, but we're supposed to thrive. Mm-hmm. And I brought it up on my phone and I had him listen to it. And he says, "Baby, that's a good song. We need to be listening to this song a little bit." That's what he said.
he said that
according to him. I don't usually call baby, but every now and then. I'm really trying to get through them. They both were listening to the song and they said it was good. And so this morning I was thinking that, so I went back and I said to Britt, maybe you could play the song next. And she laughed and laughed and said, "Come here, look at this." And it was already on her playlist and she had already planned to play that. And
not even like in a little bit.
It was within 20 seconds of me talking to her, and that has been happening to us so much that you just can't ignore it.
Amen.
God is involved in what is going on between us. Mm-hmm. We're one mind in how we're seeking God. And I have to admit, I was just wanting to have that song played because I had mentioned to Pablo and I wanted him to hear it, so I wanted him to just take it in and make it part of his process. I don't want to talk to him and go, "Oh, my pain is manageable. My pain is tolerable." Mm-hmm. I'm not accepting that.
Yeah.
I want his pain gone.
Yes.
And so we're not surviving or thriving because we're seeking God. But it's just exciting every time I see a little thing like, "Hey, how about this? Oh yeah, I'm doing that." Or I've already planned on that. And, you know, God already, this is what I did. I go, we cannot, you know, people are saying, you know, you've got to be looking for miracles. You know, people got to jump out of wheelchairs or people have to be this or be that. And I'm going, God is here all the time. Like Pablo just saying, little sins are sins. You just can't go, "That's a little sin, so it's okay." Little miracles are miracles. And you cannot just, "Oh, that's no big deal."
Amen.
Anyways.
So on that, for me, it's been such a blessing for us. On that, I was going to share this later, but I'm going to share it now. Tuesday, Felicity just not had her best life this summer, of course, and we haven't been able to go to the campground. We haven't gone to a restaurant. We haven't done anything extra. So we prayed that she would be able to join the volleyball team, and this is all relevant to the Lord, but we prayed when Miguel and Jackie were here. She practiced and tried out. And freshmen didn't play in middle school, only played in gym class. Several people get cut. We prayed. We spent the money, got her the stuff by faith. And then Jackie and Miguel, we prayed. And she was going to know the next week that when they left. So they were anxiously really wondering, you know. Well, she made the team last week. You know, made the team the week before. Yep. The freshman team, so she was very excited. So I said, "See, the Lord answered our prayer," whatever. So this last Monday was the first day of practice, and then Tuesday was the second day of practice for 7 week seasons, real quick. Tuesday, when I picked her up, she said, "I jammed my finger, it kind of hurts." And I said, "Oh, okay," so she was pulling at it. I said, "We'll just watch it." Papa was having bad face pain, so he was in bed, and I said, "Okay, we'll just watch it." And then about 2 o'clock, she came in and she's like, "Mom," and it was just flash. I'm like, "Well, we better go in." So we took her in. Pablo got up, we took her in, and they looked at it, and it's kind of not broken, but they x-rayed it. Yep, she has avulsion fracture. The bones banged together, and then a placenta chip. And then the nurse practitioner, she's like, "No sports for 3 weeks. You gotta see the sports med doctor next week. He might do 6 weeks." So she wrapped it with this metal thing and then put that brown medical tape all the way down her whole hand and said, there, no, you just stay like that for the week. And her first game was yesterday. You definitely can't play in the first game. And in 3 to 6 weeks, and Felicity started to cry. She said, this whole season's only 7 weeks. And we were just devastated. And so now we leave. He came with, but he was in face paint. She was sobbing, and I was like, Lord, why would you allow us to spend the money on her shoes, on her stuff, to get her in? Like, Lord, where are you in this? And I was just, you know, praying, but Lord. And so on the drive home, you know, it's 4 o'clock, I don't know. I thought, well, I'm not going to wait for them to call a referral. I'm going to call myself. And I called and I said, she's not supposed to see Dr. Atkins until next week. Is there anybody that can hear tomorrow morning? I just feel like because it's on her left pinky finger, I just feel like maybe they could just, I don't know, metal duct tape it so she could still play. And they were like, well, no, she needs to whatever. Anybody that's available would be a surgeon, and she doesn't need to see a surgeon, so whatever. And I said, well, is there anybody that could just rewrap it? Maybe she could play. So she said, I will put you in tomorrow morning at 9. You still have to see the doctor next week, but only to rewrap it so maybe she can play whatever. But that's all the appointment's going to be for. I said, okay. So I told Felicity, we're going to pray. Well, it was a female doctor, and I said, let's pray she played volleyball, so she might know what, you know, and she's a surgeon, so she's more than, you know, she's a sports medic, whatever. Anyway, Pablo was sitting in the chair, and he was having his face pain, and it was bedtime, and we closed up everything, and I was covering my bird, and I told Felicity, I said, she says, are you okay, Mom? And I said, I'm wiped out. Mm-hmm. I don't know why this, and why Dad this, and I said, I'm, you know, and she says, well, you know what, Mom? She said, so now, she's just accepting that tomorrow's going to be a better day. She says, you know what, Mom? She says, we're praying for Dad's healing, and we're praying for this, but she says, you know what? God's doing other things through Dad's pain, and God's doing other things, so we're praying for this, but God's doing other things, whatever. And I thought, yeah, you know, she's just slapping me right there. The face of a child. Well, she's got this finger thing. So we went the next morning, and the nurse practitioner, or the nurse took off the wrapping, whatever, and she's like, well, the doctor will be right in. She's already looked at the x-rays and whatever, and I thought, okay, we're just going to, you know. So she came walking in, she's like, hi, how are you guys? And I said, we're good, and we're praying you're an angel with good news. So she says, well, let me tell you. She said, this is not anything to pull her out of sports. She says, get that funny thing off your finger. You don't need a metal thing. You need a buddy Velcro thing. It is broken. It will definitely heal on its own. She says, maybe not this weekend's game. And then Felicity's like, are you sure? And she's like, well, you know what? If it hurts, go out of the game. But she says, you can definitely play. And Felicity and I just sat there like, so she just gave her this black thing and then told her to be careful and it will heal and come back in 2 weeks. I said, do we still need to see the other doctor? And she's like, no, nope, you're good. And I said, did you play volleyball in high school? She said, I did. I was the back, whatever. So she knew. She knew. Anyways, it was later, it was like, Felicity, we needed, God didn't break her finger, but God, we needed that, and we just trusted the Lord. Trusted the Lord. Trusted the Lord. So Wednesday, Ben was our wonderful news that she could play, and he cried. She called him on the way home from the doctor's office, and he cried. And it was like, thank you, Lord, for doing that for us. And then one other thing on top of it is, I have to play this without my speaker. So we get home, and we're thanking the Lord. What a blessing. So Pablo and I go out walking. He was going to take a walk, and he wanted to walk against the pain or whatever. This is Wednesday. And while we're walking, his mom sent a video of Miguel and her sister are playing cards and whatever. So she's like, hello, Pablo. And so Aunt Micheline said something in the video, and then we're having summer, or, you know, nice outside. So then she puts her phone at Miguel, and Miguel says, hola, Pablo, I want you to know that every day that I go out walking, because he walks 4 miles a day, he says, I pray for you, Pablo, while I'm walking. Now, let me just say this, and I know we're being recorded, so I don't care if he'll hear it. He's Catholic. It's Mother Mary and it's God. But he's been here and he's heard, thank you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So I know he's not quite sure. But I can tell you, and Miguel knows that I would say this to him, Miguel has never prayed while he walked. Ever. That is, and it's not a judgment. It's just, that is, whatever it is. But, so he said, I want you to know, Pablo, when I go walking now, I pray for you. Well, when he was here, he walked with Corky, he walked with Pablo, and we would pray, and over and over. And so, while we're looking at whatever, God is doing a whole thing over here. And I'm sorry that he's suffering, but God has done so many incredible things over here that I just keep saying, Lord, just let him keep enduring it, and I want it to be over. But if there's anything more that you need of me, if there's anything more you need for me to learn or anyone else, keep working while he's enduring it and other people are getting blessed. But Miguel is being transformed, and he's heard the men pray and speak. You know, Ken came and prayed with Pablo that night and Charlie in the house before men's group, whatever. And Miguel has joined in. Anyways, so when he said, I want you to know, Pablo, that I pray when I'm out walking. I pray for you. And then Jackie, she's funny, she's like, yeah, and he prays in English. She goes, because he must think that God only hears better in English. But see, he's heard us pray. And so, you know, their Spanish is a little bit different and whatever. But he hears us, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And so then he sent us, so she sent us a video. So then he sent us, he wanted us to know yesterday morning, we got up then, and Felicity played her game, and he was able to get up and go to the whole game. So he...
Yeah, Almighty God.
Oh, I'm sorry. You have to get, it's simple. It's simple and short. But I can tell you that this is a miracle. And while we're wondering what's happening...
Yeah, Almighty God. Please help Pablo to recover. Make his face pain to disappear. Mm-hmm. And make his right side to be stronger. You and his family need Pablo in good health. So make it so. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
He says, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. So now this morning, he sent this one.
Dear Almighty God, please help Pablo to heal. Make his face pain to disappear. Make his right side to be stronger. He needs to be in good health in order to serve you and to help his family. We all need Pablo to be okay. So please, God, help him. Help him to recover. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
So, while we're keeping our eyes on whatever, God is doing other things. And so when people sit and go, well, the next move of God and the miracles, and we're going to see signs and wonder miracles, that's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
That's a miracle. I think that I am sorry that he's suffering, but I'm thankful for that soul. And I'm thankful. I am thankful. And I told him, I said, you know, we've run into so many different people. How are you doing, Pablo? And the first thing is, well, I got this pain, I got this thing. And I told him this morning, I said, we're not doing this Debbie Downer thing anymore. Because instead, how are you doing? Well, I have this thing, but this is what the Lord did. This is what the Lord did. In fact, the other morning, I'm almost done. We stopped at, we dropped Felicity off, or the other day or something, and I had to run into Walmart. And I'm a people person. I smile and hug everybody. But when he's with me and he has to stay in the car and he's in pain, I put my face down and I get my stuff and I get out of there because he's in pain and he's in control and whatever. So now my joy is being squelched from being able to just smile and be friendly. A few days ago, again, he had the face pain. Maybe I'm just going to wait in the car. I said, okay. So I made a beeline into Walmart. I looked up and I saw Jill. My normal reaction is I would have gone over there and I would have hugged her and I said, good morning, Jill. Hello, whatever time of day it was. You're looking wonderful. I love you. Let me pray with you. Whatever. But he was in pain and I said to her, hi, Candy, how are you? You know, as you're going to cross the walkway. And I'm like, God, the power, he's in a lot of pain. So I told him I would hurry, whatever. And then I got in there and got my stuff and got out. You know what? He still had the pain, but it was like no more. Because God is doing too many good things that I can't focus. I can't focus on what's still there. Because what about all the things that God has done? And the power of the Lord and the Spirit has come over Pablo mightily in the last 5 weeks, so many times that he sobs and howls and groans. A few nights ago, just all over him. Not that he has to try and stop it, because it's so powerful. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for. Those are the good things. So the next time that you see Pablo and ask him how he's doing, go la 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 for the first like 30 seconds. You know what I mean? I know he's in pain, but every single person that we run into is also carrying a heaviness. So I apologize, Jill, that I did not hug and squeeze you. I did not give her the joy of the Lord. So anyways, while we're all waiting for those miracles, like you said, Corky, celebrate all of those. Because it gives us a thankful heart. The Bible tells us that. Be thankful. Constant. So that's my praise report, is what God is doing. The devil's always in the backside doing something.
Oh, he's busy.
I know.
He is
busy. He's very busy.
And he never takes a vacation.
No. But you know, if you sing and pray and worship and sing and pray and worship and hum, sing, you know that Joe Hack, he had a secret. Sing, pray, and hum, praise, praise, sing, sing, hum. That's resisting the devil.
Look what the Lord has done.
Amen,
Bonnie.
Amen.
He healed my body.
Yes.
He saved me. Yes. Just in time.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Spoken from a person who broke their neck.
Oh, right.
I mean, how many people do you know break their neck and tell you about it later?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God does a lot.
Mm-hmm.
My dad. Because he complains about it to this day. You can't talk to him without him bringing it up.
It comes up all the time. Right?
His headaches.
Oh, okay.
I think he's actually probably having surgery this year next on it after 50 years.
50 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, on one hand, 50 years ago they probably couldn't do anything, but today they might be able to. So. Unfortunately, you get to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
But as someone reminded me, yesterday, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good.
Yes. I had to test you on that question.
Actually, though, I think in your testimony, you missed one part, which I think is important, which was after the news about Felicity, you basically went to your knees and said, God,
mm-hmm.
what else are you requiring of me?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, in the world of all the troubles and tribulations that you're having, and it seems like God gives you just one more, and you go, you know, what more do I need? And being humble like that, God will answer. You know, the joke that I tell and many others do is, I wish God wasn't so confident in me, because scripture says that you know, you won't be given any more than you can't bear.
Cut, right.
And then you go, well, I really wish he didn't think I could bear this much.
Right.
It'd be okay if it was just a little less. But
and if we believe in that one scripture, we got to believe in that other scriptures. He will heal. He will pay. He will, you know what I mean? So I told Pablo, you know, I said, every word is true. So we, if we're going to believe the one over here about blah, 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 he's with you all the time, we have to believe the one that he's with you in the tribulation and then the one where he fills you with joy. And so every single promise is true. You know, every single thing is true. And when you give God something, it's easy for us as humans, like, okay, God, I'm going to give you this thing, this burden and this problem, and I'm going to give it to you, okay, I gave it to the Lord. Lord, how are you doing with me? You know, when you give something to somebody, you need to give it and walk away. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, then the next thing comes and hits. But when you give something, don't be an Indian giver. Is that the word? Indian giver? Am I old? Yes. When you give...
It's not socially acceptable anymore, but it used to be in the vernacular.
Yeah, an Indian giver is you give and then you try and get it back or something, right?
That's,
yeah.
That's it.
Okay, so... No, when you give it to God, you have to give it to God. You got to go like that, and then you got to give it to God. And then you have to take a deep breath, and you have to walk away and let God do it. Because God does not need pesky effort.
I'm just contemplating Miguel. And that little breakthrough of him praying like that, that's going to just, God's going to just keep opening and opening. And he's,
Miguel is the dean of the college. And he has a lot of professor friends. In fact, one of his very good friends is a neurologist. So his neurologist friend has filled him since the beginning of, if he survives. So Miguel keeps checking in with his neurologist. And Miguel is just, Pablo, you're a miracle. You're a miracle. And so... So now everybody that Miguel tells, you know, and I can tell you, they're Catholic, so they don't, Jesus is not a, it's Mother Mary and St. Peter and St. Jude and St. Esther and, you know, Mother Mary of God. That is how they are. And it's, I'm not faulting him, but that is where he was at. And so he hears us, thank you, Jesus. So, you know, Almighty God, thank you, God, thank you, Jesus. He's not really sure. He's just going to pray to anybody that he knows and to listen.
Yeah.
And that is impactful because I know that Miguel, he says, I've told so many people about Pablo and so many of my friends, but they're also going to watch and Miguel's going to be able to, who knows? Who knows? And that, I mean, I don't know. I mean, my heart is just overjoyed with the thing with Miguel because he's kind of a top eight because he's very intelligent, but I love him to death. Oh, I love him to death. No, I thought you were. I'm sorry. Keep going.
It's exciting to see what's going on with Miguel. I walked with him a lot when he was here. Talked about lots of different things, you know. They weren't all about God or anything, but he definitely was impacted.
Well, you let your light shine, so he was affected by your light.
Right.
He's affected by everybody's light here. When he's here, he really soaks it in. You're talking. I thought you were talking, Ken.
As scripture that says something about being that will suffer more than the Lord did, you know, that's a lot. So it seems like all the holiest people I know are suffering with something that, you know, they shouldn't be. I mean, who am I to say? But it seems like they endure it. With Pablo and are like the saint about it. But it's like, even though everybody's praying,
You know what fills me about that, though? Is that through, the Bible says to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who mourn. And when I think about everyone's situation, is like, you know, Susan, when she prays, Susan can definitely pray for all the people that come to her that have anxiety and fear. Mm-hmm. Susan can pray because Susan knows what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when I think about that, I just keep telling Pablo, I'm like, well, I don't know how much more you'll go through, but by the time you're done, when you pray for anybody, you'll be able to pray for them for all these things because you will have felt it.
Yeah.
And you will mourn with them or you will rejoice or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing is, though I'm suffering,
yeah.
We ran into somebody, he prayed with somebody with a bad leg, and those are the things that the Lord quickens in us, that it's important to pray for one another. But by the time he's done, head to toe, he's got a lot of things he's gone through in the last several years that he'll be able to, anything that,
experience, nothing
yep.
like experience.
Right, right. Yep.
I brought my boat in a week and a half ago to get an oil change. And Corby's one of those who knows this, but I haven't, it's hard to really notice I don't have a boat. He usually sees me going out every day to go fishing. And so I did an oil change, and my dad and I we were gonna change the oil ourselves because it was all in oil. So we were gonna order the parts to change the oil, whatever. So me and him are lazy. I just said I'll pay for an oil change, right? Instead of having me and him do it. So I called Skeeter, the fanciest boat place in Wisconsin, to change my oil because they're the only people that service Suzuki, whatever. Right? So I bring the boat there. Whatever for an oil change, so like okay, I'm expecting to pay $200 for an oil change, whatever, right? But I also thought I had an oil leak because it was like there was no oil in it originally when I brought it in. So they told me it was going to be $100 for them just to diagnose the oil leak. So I mean, to me, that's a lot of money, So whatever. A couple days later, they called me. They changed the oil. There was no oil leak, so the bill came out to $380, so I'm like, oof. Our oil change, our rent for them, $100 for them just to say there is no oil leak, but I was happy because I didn't have to pay any more for them to fix their oil leak because they're not looking for money. So, I was like, okay, that's what I got. My mom says, no matter what it was, okay, that's good. And so I'm like, okay, so I'm ready to pick it up. He texts me, and then they were going to change the gear case, like the boat's transmission, like the gear lube in there too, which they told me I should do for it. It was like $20 or whatever. So that's what they did too. And so they took it apart. I took off the case, whatever, to change the lube, and they told me that the case. The boat's transmission pretty much was full of water, which is not supposed to be filled with water. So they sent me this big long text, the gear case is filled with water, that's really bad. The prop shaft is all bent. My prop is bent to crap. And my skeg, the thing that had a little piece of metal on the bottom below the propeller, it's all broken, which I already knew. But I didn't know the gear case was filled with water, So some of this big long text that they stopped right there, that they're not going to move forward they can't change the gear case loop because if they do, then they put it back on, it'll just fill with water again. So they told me they have to take it apart. They told me last Friday they have to take it apart, and take a look at it. So I'm like, okay, so I was expecting them to look at it, this last week, Monday, call me Tuesday, tell me what. And they never called me. They never called me, never told me nothing for a whole week. So on Friday, I called them. I'm like, hey, I need to know what the next move is on my boat. So the guy told me, like, okay, I'll have someone else call you. And he was super bad with what he was saying. But I knew that stuff was broken that needed to get fixed. So I was waiting, he called me, and
So the guy who's in charge of that, he's like, okay, I'll send you a text. It was like 3 o'clock on Friday. He sent me a text. He says, okay, I'll call you. So like, okay, so I'm all anxious because I know it's going to be a lot of money, you know. And oh, so my story was $400. I worked last week, you know, for my top company. I worked Monday through Sunday. You know, I worked Saturday and Sunday. Worked 60 hours. You know, I've never worked 60 hours in my whole life.
Your whole life
in a week. You know, I've never worked on Saturday, and I only worked that Saturday and Sunday because the guy I had promised a month prior that I would help because they needed help and guys were gone or whatever. So okay, sure, I can work Saturday. So on that Saturday I worked, and then that Sunday, so on that Saturday I worked with my boss. Told my boss about the boat and the oil. I only let the oil change was needed. Whatever. I was like, oh man, how much is it? I'm like, oh, it's like $400. He said, you know, if you bring that bill into R&L, my company, that he'll pay for it. My boat change.
Mm-hmm.
My oil change.
Mm-hmm.
For me working on the weekend. I mean, in addition to whatever money I earn that weekend. So, I mean, as of right now, he's going to pay the $400 for the oil change. And he kind of knew that. I told him that there's something else that needed to be done with the gear case. He's like, oh, just bring in the gear case. I mean, just bring in the oil change. Whatever. Okay, so the $400 was lifted off my shoulders, right? So that was the point of my story, kind of. I don't have to pay the $400. But anyway, on Friday, they sent me this big long text, blah, 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 to get the gear case fixed, whatever. It's going to be $1,000, whatever. So I was like, oh, you know, and I kind of expected to be that much, $1,000 for them to do that, which is like a necessity, you know. And like an optional $400 to get the skeg fixed. But I told him, forget about the skeg, I don't need it fixed, whatever. The gear case. So, I don't know. My mom said I should show my boss the other bill.
Well, said there was $400 plus another thing. And he said, well, just bring the bills in on Monday, but you didn't have one. But regardless,
but
$400.
Mm-hmm. And I can afford, you know, I mean, I got no bills really. I mean, I can afford $1,000 to get the boat. I don't want to spend $1,000 to get a boat, you know, because a year ago, if there was something with the boat, you know, Mr. McCrane over here would take care of it for me. But he hadn't been in the boat, and I mean, it's going to be almost a year where he hasn't even been in the boat. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to say
so. Right, so we wouldn't pay anything on the boat.
So it's me, you know, it's my boat.
You keep talking about your boat. It's your bill.
The boat's in my name now, pretty much, so yeah.
But anyway, that was a fun blessing. God cares what we care about, so that was a fun blessing for.
Yeah. That is good.
And I'm hoping, you know, the guy told me he has to order the parts, so he must have ordered them whatever for that. So and this weekend, this upcoming weekend, I'm gonna go to my friend's cabin to musky fish. So I hope in this week's span that they can fix my boat. If they can, then I'm not gonna go up there. So I don't know. I just hope they can fix it. I don't care if it's $4 million. Like I want to tell them that.
You want a location?
Yeah. I'll be fishing. I mean, not right now. You know, but after church, but I'll fish yesterday. But now I don't know.
Now I have stuff to sit home for.
Yeah. So now I know what it feels like to be crap over here. Doesn't get to fish at all. You know?
But you talk about we were just fishing.
I know. I know.
Poor Chuck didn't catch a single fish.
I try. All right. Trust you.
You're busy donating jigs to the lake.
Yeah.
Donating jigs.
And casting over people's lines.
Oh, no.
Hey, I was careful.
So, Barb, what's good with you?
Nothing has happened this week that I have to report. That's been good.
Yeah.
I see a letter in the bulletin board. Has it been there a while? Oh. I just
like kind of a weird thing about that.
Yes.
What's good with you, Grant?
Not much. I mean, all good, but nothing stands out. You know, kids are all doing good. Yeah.
Life is good.
Yeah.
I don't know. A week without a whole lot of problems, let's put it that way. Which, you know, nothing,
which is good in,
right,
in itself.
Right. Right. Right.
Right.
Except they did get mad at the telemarketers.
And Tuesday I asked a question about the blood and the water and Jesus the Spirit. The revelation came to me as to what the water is supposed to represent. When Jesus was at the well, and over to Miriam that was there, and was going to give him some drink, and he said, if you ask for the living water that I could give, you would not thirst again. Mm-hmm. So I think it's tied in with that statement, mm-hmm, that the water is living water that he can offer. Yeah. Anyway, I got the revelation a couple days later.
We discussed that quite a bit. Never really had a good answer.
So good things, but nothing that puts us in a tizzy.
Well, then that's good. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I pray that continues.
So I'm going to ask for the same blessing when I take my truck in on Thursday. Something with the air conditioning. He threw up the number 500, and then, so maybe I read that happen before, and then all of a sudden they were up there, wasn't near as much as what they said.
Yeah,
but if it is, it is what it is, you know.
Mm-hmm. I've had that happen a lot of things. Oh, what's that head gasket?
I don't know. Some years ago, four years ago, I remember Powell got, and it was a $5,000 something. We took the truck line, and it would be $5,000, whatever, Charlie Prey, and blah, blah, blah. And then they called a couple days later, and it was $515.
Yeah.
You know, but he specifically prayed, because we were like, we don't have it, it's not $5,000, you know, whatever. But God, like my mom always said, God cares what we care about. I pray about everything. And it doesn't always mean it's going to go my direction, but we can pray that whatever that is.
To the other side, and if it's it and I can do it, that's a blessing also.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, that it doesn't send me into a, you know, bankruptcy or anything, so that's good.
The other thing is, while we pray for, Lord, let it, nothing wrong with the truck, nothing wrong with the truck, whatever, all of a sudden, you know, there is something wrong with the truck because we live an earthly life, mm-hmm, but then maybe he allows you to have a few more grass clipping jobs, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that you can, and I always look at that. We're focused on, Lord, I need you to do it like this, you know, like the parting of the Red Sea.
No, you know, that's been happening actually in the last month or two, and I thank them, because mm-hmm, it's just like all of a sudden there was a little more money for this or that,
mm-hmm,
you know, just because extra jobs. So.
Right, right.
And to be able to do them is good too.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, I heard that it's going to be like the heaviest snowfall in a while, is what Church will have.
Ooh, good for you, yeah. That's why I got to.
Where did you hear that?
On the
check a different website.
If it gets real bad, I'm going to go catch a charge.
They're talking about we need a good winter for the mountains and snow, you all west and every place, everything's getting dried up. That would be good.
Well, the snowmobilers and the skiers, they are praying for a good winter.
Yeah.
So, you know, imagine being God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate the rain. I hate the rain, you know. I love it. Every time it rains, my mom is like, oh, the fuck. I don't know, mom or grandma should always say that. Well, the farmers pray for the rain. So
yes.
That's
what I said. Imagine being God. You're like, wait, 38 people prayed for rain. 40 prayed for sun. Okay, I'll do sun today. Yeah.
I saw my cardiologist and had an echocardiogram done a few weeks ago, and my aneurysm came back measuring at 4.9 centimeters at that one. And so he ordered an MRI. Because at 5, they like to start offering surgery. And at the appointment, he asked me if I was claustrophobic at all. And I've had MRIs before, and it wasn't a big deal that time. And I was like, no. He's like, not at all? You don't get anxious, like, in small spaces? No. Like, not even a little bit in, like, a small space? No. I'm like, okay, cool, we'll schedule it. So then, all of a sudden, in the days coming up to when it was going to happen, I was like, what if I do get nervous? What if I didn't think about that? So I got nervous and anxious about about it and was having other symptoms and things, and I fully believe that God is in control, and if it ruptured, it's his plan. And I don't want to do anything to it, but also need to know what things are going on. So I went to the MRI and forgot that that's done with contrast. So that was really fun. So I got in the room nervous and went to lay down, and she said, "Can I start an IV?" And I said, "For what?" She said, "Well, for the contrast." And then I started thinking, oh, Glenn. So now there's a small space, and my arm's going to burn off. that's where I'm at. Right. So they put a pillow under my head and a washcloth over my face, and I go, and I'm basically touching the top, and immediately I'm like, "No, get me out of here. I'm anxious. Like, you have to take me out of this." So they did. And then we talked to him, maybe take the washcloth off of my face and the pillow out from under my head. Like, this is fine. This is going to be fine. So I was feeling really nervous. And then all of a sudden, I was like, "No, you're fine." Like, they offered to do it with sedation and whatever. But all of a sudden, I had this crazy, like, everything is just fine thing. And I was like, "Let's just do this." So I think a half hour, just put me in, it's fine. It's all good. So I did this. What? I did the scan, and so then they told me, "Okay, we're going to put in the contrast now." I never even felt the contrast or tasted it, which was weird, because that's every single time. And then she's like, "Okay, you're done." So I was done, and later that day, I got my thing that I had my results, and I don't know how often it happens, but on the MRI, my aneurysm measured at 4.6 centimeters. So 4.9 to 4.6 takes me below where we even need to start talking about anything else, because they start out doing it at 5 to 5.5. So echocardiograms usually measure smaller, which is why they do MRIs. So, yeah, which is pretty nice.
More time for God to heal you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ultrasound?
Yeah.
Check it for, because I have one area too where if it grows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And at the VA, I got the stuff back, and I'm trying to think now what the numbers were, but there was no thing like, "We need to talk to you" or anything else. So I went, "Yeah, I'm good."
Yeah.
You know, I was figuring it'd be good. But.
Yeah. Well, it's cool to see it come back a little bit smaller on the confirmed measurement. That's pretty nice.
You know what they say for me? They said, well, the VA says, well, they ask you a question, "Did you ever smoke?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I said, like, I quit when I was 30, so, you know, 45 years ago. Well, how much? Well, you know, well, if you even smoke one cigarette a day, this could happen. And so we need to check for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, over the years, if they just, the numbers that show that people that smoke were getting this, you know, enlarged veins or so, yeah, it's kind of weird how something like that could, even that small amount would affect somebody, but
yeah,
that's what they say. So anyway, that's what I ended up having one a couple of years ago, and then just followed up again. So. And I'm thinking, yeah, with all the pedaling I do, if that was going to rupture, it would rupture.
Right. I was really comforted by the doctor that told me that my placement of mine, if it ruptured, it would only be like 2 minutes and I would just bleed out internally. That was really comforting.
Yeah, well, that's what they say about almost all of them, that you won't get anywhere faster.
Yeah, well, and I guess like it was supposed to be comforting because other placements on your aorta, it could bleed out longer or rupture differently, but because mine's right on the ascending, it would just be really quick.
Yeah.
That's
why they want to repair it.
You're right.
Well,